right, good morning.
Good morning.
That was fun. I'm getting two-thirds of the pastor experience today. I got to play on worship, and now I'm up here talking. So, slowly progressing. Just wanted to welcome everybody. For those of you that don't know me, looks like most of you do. My name is Travis. I'm a member of the church here. I'm not the regular pastor, but I think most of you guys know that. So, I am going to start off today with a public service announcement. My word today has been on my heart for quite a few weeks, and it will touch on some political topics. And some people might be saying, "Well, you know what? I don't think church and politics belong in the same building." And to that, I would probably challenge you that you might be incorrect. I would tell you that Jesus Christ himself was aligned and heavily tied to some of the most influential political figures of his time.
Yeah.
He was there to call out hypocrisy, challenge the status quo, and ultimately that led to those people in power to despise him, to ridicule and hate him, and eventually to plot his murder. The battle of good and evil continues today.
Yeah.
It's alive and well in our world. And less than 1 month ago, a political giant of our world was assassinated in front of thousands of people. He became a modern-day martyr for speaking God's truth. So if you feel that this topic or anything associated with that topic is going to be triggering to you, I would allow you the opportunity to leave now, but would encourage you to sit and stay and listen to what God has to say in this situation. With that said, I'd like to open in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be up here speaking your word, Lord. I thank you for every person here. I pray that you would just open hearts and minds, Lord, to receive your word, Lord, and that people would just encounter you in such a powerful way today that they would no longer be able to deny your presence, your existence, and your love for them. Lord, just be with us as we go forward. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm gonna lighten the mood a little bit here. I read a story that it kind of made me laugh. It was about an old lady that every morning she would go out on her porch and she would scream, "Praise the Lord." Well, one day an atheist moved next door and he became very irritated with her worship. She would go out every morning and scream, "Praise the Lord." And he began to scream, "There is no Lord." It went on for several months, and then one day in the middle of the winter, the lady stepped on her front porch and she said, "Praise the Lord. Lord, reveal your will in my life. I have no food. I'm starving. But praise you." The next morning, the woman came out on her porch. Two bags of groceries were sitting on her doorstep. "Praise the Lord," she cried out. "He's provided me with groceries." And as she said that, the atheist jumped out of the bushes and shouted, "There is no Lord. I bought the groceries for you." Without skipping a beat, the old lady threw her arms in the air and said, "Praise the Lord, he's provided me with groceries and he made the devil pay for it." Well, just a little warm up, but... All right, moving on. I read a quote by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a preacher at Westminster Chapel in London, England, between the years of 1939 and 1968. And he said these words, which I feel are so applicable. He said that a man who does not understand the nature of the problem he's confronting is a man who's already doomed to failure. Our souls are at war. We may not realize it, but they are. In every war, there's battles and there are attacks. And behind those attacks are strategies to bring those attacks to fruition. And behind the strategies, there's a strategist. In the case of the war that I'm talking about, against the human soul and against God himself, the strategist on the other side of the aisle is Satan. He's not our friend. He doesn't like us. He hates us, he hates God, and he wants nothing more than to see us destroyed. He's devised a plan of attack, and his weapons of choice are temptation, pride, lust, and fear. And his tactics to help us fall into his trap are lies and deceit. The devil uses these tactics to gain footholds in our lives. He'll tell us things that we want to hear. He'll make us believe things that we want to be true. He twists our thoughts and he twists God's word to help us justify the things that we say and do, so that we can believe in our own hearts that they're okay or right. But over time, this method of warfare will break us down. It corrodes our values, our morals, our beliefs. And then one day we're not a person that we recognize, and we're not a person that we set out to be. We live in a world where we're constantly entangled of webs and lies, of lies and deceit. They keep us distracted from knowing God and knowing what His will is for us. Society's version of reality has been so eroded and chipped away at over generations, and this is not by mistake. It's by design. Well, I said our war is not a war in a physical sense. There has been some spillover. But there's a war taking place in the spiritual realm, and it's a war for the possession of your soul, my soul, and everyone's soul. And it's a war of where we're inevitably going to spend eternity. And like I said, regardless of what you want to believe, you are a soldier in the front lines of this war. You're fighting for one side or the other, whether you know it or not. But the more that we're involved, or the more that we're aware of our involvement in this war, the more we can defend ourselves, the better we can guard ourselves from attack. If we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." I was looking at that verse, and I'm going to focus mostly on the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. But putting on the full armor of God, it's a completely different sermon, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but it doesn't say put on some of the armor of God. It says the full armor of God. That's for another time. Anyways, things that would have landed us in prison 20 years ago are being celebrated openly in our public. Kids being talked to about sexual identity alongside math and English is not a normal thing. Men dressing up as women, looking like me with a beard, and going into public change rooms with women is not a normal thing. People parading down the street in lewd clothing, with their butts hanging out, while kids stand on the side celebrating and cheering, is not normal. I would challenge you that it's in fact wicked and evil. But the devil has told our society that our true selves need to be expressed regardless of what that looks like. And if you do not accept that, you're the enemy and you are not a loving person. Music, television, movies, and the language that we use are all reflections of how far our society has fallen in recent years. I don't know if you guys recall this, but a few years ago at Christmas time, the song "Baby It's Cold Outside" was taken off the radio. While the number one song on the radio at the time was WAP by Cardi B, and it's an acronym I can't even say from up here. We've drifted so far that murder itself is now being viewed as a victory and justified by some people in our society. The world is under attack and people are falling prey to the lies of the devil. Selwyn Duke had a quote that I saw actually this morning, and I thought I'd share it with you. It says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Out of last month's tragic and senseless murder of Charlie Kirk, though, we're starting to see God's hand at work. If you look at Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." During her address at Charlie Kirk's memorial, his wife Erica stated that Charlie's biggest dream was to see heaven crowded, and that that dream is coming to fruition. There has, without a doubt, been an awakening in my mind, a revival of the Christian faith that I've never seen. I don't know about some of you older fellas, but in my lifetime, I haven't seen a revival like what's going on since September 10th. I think people are starting to wake up to the evils of this world, and they're starting to seek answers. People who have identified as atheists or anti-religion are showing up in churches. Prayer vigils are being held in public squares and on university campuses. Church parking lots are getting crowded, and people are starting to open their Bibles. The memorial of Charlie Kirk was witnessed by millions of people. I think I saw today it was something like 40 million people witnessed his memorial online, and 100,000 people live. I don't know if any of you watched it, or if you haven't watched it, I'll try my best to paint a picture. But it was a stadium, like I said, filled with 100,000 people. It's a 9-hour-long service where they spoke of a man whose faith and love in Jesus, his family, and his country were at the forefront. They sang hymns and worship songs with thousands of people raising their hands in worship to God. What I saw was a moment in history where people were crying out to God in masses and were met and encountered by him. One of the craziest things to come out of that for me was seeing a country built on God's principles have this presidential cabinet come and talk and proclaim the saving grace of Jesus Christ and calling for God to be brought back into American society. I personally don't believe that Charlie Kirk was shot for having fringe political views, but I believe that he was shot because he stood on value, truth, morals, and most importantly, he stood on an unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. If you question that, I challenge you to look at the celebrations of his death taking place online. This is not a human response. This is a response of Satan and demonic forces believing they have silenced a voice for God. The problem for those people and those demons is that the war has already been won.
Amen. Yes.
And that the voice they try to silence got a megaphone. I've heard it said that sometimes the greatest evidence for the existence of God is the evidence of the existence of demons. Demons that have been so clearly on display over the last few months in our world. Shooting in Minneapolis, Minnesota on August 27, 2025, where the shooter left behind a drawing of himself with a reflection in the mirror of a demon. Words written in Russian asking for help. He used a picture depicting Jesus Christ as target practice and wrote, "Where is your God now?" as he shot two small kids at a school. These aren't the actions of a sane individual, but a person possessed with a spirit that knows and despises Jesus and what he stands for. Last Sunday, another church and its parishioners were attacked in the United States. And even a church within our own community was burned to the ground a couple weeks ago on September 21st. Now more than any time that I can recall, we are being called and asked to choose where we stand. We live in a time where people are dehumanizing one another. If you hold certain views and beliefs, there's no longer room for debate or talking. We've been programmed and told that if someone doesn't share your every opinion or value, that they are your enemy. This isn't true. While we do have to pick a side, It's not a side for or against a person. It's not a side for or against a group. It's not a side for or against a political party or organization. People are not our enemy. But we do have a choice, and the choice is to pick the side of God or choose to reject Him. There's a pretty well-known illustration that I'll share with you guys. And I think it speaks to this, but it's an illustration about a large group of people that were gathered. And on one side of the group stood Jesus, and on the other side stood Satan. Separating them was a fence. Both Jesus and Satan began to call to the group of people. And each one, having made up their own mind, went to either Jesus' side or Satan's side. This went on for some time, until a group would gather around Jesus and a group had gathered around Satan. One man chose neither side. He decided that he was going to climb on the fence and sit on it. Jesus and his people left and disappeared, and so did Satan. The man sat on the fence alone. But as he sat there, Satan came back. He returned, looking as though he had lost something. The man said, "Are you missing something?" Satan looked him in the eye and said, "Nope, come with me." The man said, "But I didn't choose you or him. I sat on the fence." Satan said, "That's okay, I own the fence." I think this spoke to me because there's no longer time for us to remain lukewarm Christians. We can't play both sides of the fence of society and hope that we can appease everybody and have everybody applaud us and like us. We can't claim to serve God while also serving the wills and desires of this world. If we look at James 1, verse 6 to 8. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." What I see here is James warning us in this passage about divided loyalty between God and the world. We need to come to God with wholehearted faith, not drifting between belief and doubt. We need to believe in what he says and stand for it. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." God is calling you to pick him or the things of this world. Choose your God. Finally, Psalms chapter 119, verses 113 to 115. "I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God." I've included these passages today because I believe they're directing us to a choice: God or the world. We can't say one thing and do another. We can't serve God and serve the world at the same time. We each live with good and evil inside of us. We live in a fallen world, and we're susceptible to that. Another illustration that I'd read comes from an old Cherokee tale of two wolves. The elderly Cherokee man was talking to his grandson about the battle of good and evil that goes on within each of us. He said, "Inside of us are two wolves. One evil, it is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego. The other is a good wolf. It is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." The same fight goes on inside you and inside every person. And the grandson thought about it for a while, and he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? The grandfather said, the one that you feed. The time is coming. I would challenge all of us in this room that if we say we stand for something, stand for it unapologetically. Be the same person in every room. Don't say one thing and contradict yourself by doing another. One of my greatest pet peeves, and you're going to learn something about me here, is that I hate when people here or in church or anywhere say that they would die for Jesus if someone put a gun to their head and said that they had to denounce him. Well, I think that's amazing and great. Would you say the same thing if you were in communist China? Would you say the same thing if you were in Nigeria, Afghanistan? It's very easy to say that here, where we live in a country of freedoms where we're not being persecuted yet. The harder part and the more aggravating part that I find is like when those people say, I'm willing to die for Jesus, but they're not willing to live for him. If you're willing to die for Jesus Christ, be willing to live for him while you can. As Christians, we're set apart and we're called to a higher standard than the world. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I like the way that the New Living Translation says, do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God wants what is best for us. He's given us direction. We need to be listening to him. The things of this world are ruining us, corrupting us. And we need to be continually analyzing what we do, what we say, and what we stand for. And we need to analyze whether that's in line with what God is saying to us and his plan in our lives. In a world where it's acceptable to celebrate the death of a devoted father and husband, the lies of the enemy are all around us, and Satan wants you to join his team. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, sign, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Some of us in society, some of us here maybe even, have denied God for so long and we refuse to accept his truth that we've been turned over to delusion and lies. Delusions that I would argue go against every fiber of reality. Where men can become women, kids can become cats. We're constantly being lied to. But if we stay true to the truth and God's word, we're less vulnerable to attack. If we stay rooted and strong in our beliefs and values, we're less likely to be deceived. We can choose the side that is already won. If you've been a Christian for a long time, I would encourage you to examine your walk with God. Are you following him as closely as you would like? Or more importantly, as closely as he would like you to follow him? Are you feeding your good wolf by reading your Bible, by praying, by including God in aspects of your life that you... And when I say aspects of your life, I mean all the aspects of your life, not just the ones that you're okay with him taking control of. I lived in that space for a very long time where I was like, God can have this, but I still want to have this. Or are you allowing your evil wolf to gain a foothold by feeding him with your thoughts of hate, indulgence, guilt, shame, or anger? If your relationship with Jesus is new, or you're just in exploratory stages of one with him, I would encourage you to see that journey through. get connected with people who live a life reflective of his love. And I know there's a lot of those people in this church. I encourage you to ask questions, to seek answers, and I'm confident God will reveal himself to you. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It took me a long time to get to that place. I looked for God for a lot of years without seeking wholeheartedly. I can tell you that there's more joy on the side when you choose him completely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna summarize. I think I went pretty quick again today, but in summary, the points I was trying to make today, and I hope that it kind of stuck with you guys, was that we are engaged in a spiritual war regardless of what you want to believe.
Yeah.
Number two, God loves you, and he's provided you with a choice. You can choose him, or you can choose to reject him. Point three was to stand strong in what you believe. You can love people without compromising your values.
Yeah, yeah,
true. And point four is, if you have a relationship with Jesus or you don't have one yet, continue to seek him. I'll conclude by saying that Charlie Kirk was not God. He was not an angel. He was not the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. What Charlie Kirk was a person who stood up for what he believed in boldly. He proclaimed God's love for each and every person that he came in contact with. Sometimes that love was taken as hate by those who don't truly understand what love is. They believe that in order to love them, you have to accept all aspects of who they are and what they do. I'll tell you this, if my kids were identifying as people who touched hot stoves, I would not love them and allow them to do that. It's not loving. Charlie Kirk knew, and Jesus knew best of all, that people need to be met with compassion, led to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, to truly experience their purpose and his love. We need to go to war with the norms of this world and tell people the reality of what we know to be true. We need to meet people with compassion, but not compromise. Our souls will end up on one side of the fence or the other. And I ask you, which side are you choosing? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for everyone here again, Lord, and I thank you for your word. I pray that you would just bless everyone as we leave here, Lord, and I pray that we would be lights for you in this community and around the world. I pray that we would glorify you and have others come to know you through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It always feels like more.